Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And folks, you need to listen up. We are going to have breaking news on Patriot Radio today in reference to what happened to that poor five-year-old little girl in Twin Falls, Idaho, and that is coming up very shortly. Once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we must also move to action instead of just prayer. And I know a lot of people are prayer warriors, and prayer is necessary, absolutely 100%. Folks, we got to start acting. We've got to start becoming government of the people, by the people, for the people again. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we act. And everybody always asks me, what can I do? The number one thing, folks, listen to what I'm saying. The number one thing that you can do is join an assembly, a local assembly. There's one in virtually each county in eastern Washington and north Idaho. Join an assembly. And if you want to find out how to join, just message me on Facebook, no problem. And we'll get you connected. And you can join the grassroots movement that is sweeping the western United States and really has become so effective that the left has started to target it. And I'm gonna talk about that here in a little bit. But I do want to remind you, as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds me every day, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. There is nothing new under the sun, no new ideas, nothing that's not been seen before in some way, shape, or form. And we just need to make sure that we look and see what the truth is that has been standing for thousands of years and just follow it. That's it. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Once again, massive deployment of U.S. naval assets to the South China Sea. And while the media has been downplaying this, if reporting on it at all, the Chinese finally put out a letter to the editor scolding the United States for sending two carrier groups to the South China Sea. Now, our sources say there are at least three and maybe even four headed to the South China Sea. And as I've mentioned on previous programs, that is an indication of a country being on a war footing. When you see three or four carrier groups go to the Middle East, that usually means there's going to be war or some sort of action over there. So it's very interesting. It's happening in the South China Sea, to the point it provoked them to do an open letter, through their propaganda arm. I think it was China Daily. Also on the international front, Brexit. The international order completely caught off guard, suffering an enormous defeat. Some people trying to say that's what they wanted all along. I don't think it is. I think that they knew it was probably coming, and that's why people like George Soros hedged against it. But the destruction of the European Union, because there are at least a dozen countries now talking about it, and probably top among those is Hungary, who has a great, great leader right now in Viktor Orban. I mean, just a great leader. If you don't even know who he is, if you don't know who Viktor Orban is, go check it out online. Listen to a couple of his speeches. They're absolutely amazing. Amazing. I would think that the Hungarians are probably going to be next. I really do. I mean, I don't. I don't think that they're just going to wait around. I really don't. I mean, they're sick and tired of it. They were sick and tired of this idea that there was going to be this European Union army and all of the other stuff that was going along with it. So. But the Brexit did result in some devaluation of the pound. Also, in some negative downturns in the stock markets. And folks, the day of reckoning either comes now or it comes later. You know, that's the way it is. So we either have the correction now with less pain or the correction later with more pain. And that's kind of how I've been describing it to folks. But clearly this year, the elections all over the world are nationalism versus globalism. That's what's going on. Which moves us to the next thing on the international front. Horrible bloodbath in Istanbul, Turkey. 50 dead at least, 60 plus injured. Explosions in the terminal. Gunfire in the terminal. The 11th busiest airport in the world. Three bombers apparently struck at one time. But here's the deal. I don't know when this administration in Washington, D.C. is going to finally take things seriously. In fact, you know what? At this point, they can't even say that they would take something seriously because this administration in Washington, D.C. is intentionally looking the other way on this threat. If not, enabling and emboldening those people. Here, ISIS comes out and says the next targets are going to be Istanbul and San Francisco in the United States, right? And then bang, Istanbul blows up today, literally. When, I mean, these people are not lying. they literally want to destroy the West. They want to destroy the West. And we keep acting like there is nothing going on here. And it's ignorant and it's dangerous. And for those of you that haven't read the book Disinformation by General Mihai Pacepa, you need to read that book because it explains the KGB infiltration into the Islamic world and briefly touches on the CIA infiltration a little bit later. But the KGB infiltration had been going on since the 1960s. I think in his book, he said there was like 100 years of Semtex. You heard that right. That had been given to organizations through the PLO / Muslim Brotherhood. So we're just seeing this stuff come to fruition. And the idea that it's not a threat is ridiculous. And yes, there is clearly a higher power involved here. And I mean higher power in the sense of nation states. International actors. But the fact remains there is a threat. And this administration just acts like there's no threat. In fact, there have been cases after cases of this administration intentionally ordering the destruction of intelligence records and records compiled on these terrorist organizations and their infiltration in the United States. And it is treasonous that Americans die on American soil and this intentional looking the other way. We can't even call them Islamo-fascists anymore. Which brings us to the next thing on the national front. That's Hillary Clinton, who should be in jail. Think it's going to get any better under Clinton? Good night. On top of that, we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been smearing people all over the internet. And, you know, Patriot Radio has such a reach now that people are starting to fight back everywhere they hear this garbage coming out, especially from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And now the Southern Poverty Law Center is getting pretty mad. And so they're starting to attack harder and have their little minions in our local area try and attack us and smear us harder. But the fact of the matter is they keep getting debunked. And the latest debunking was when the Southern Poverty Law Center president, Richard Cohen, said that there is no such thing as the sheriff being the chief law enforcement officer of a county, that theory was rooted in a 1970s racist ideology. That is one of the most ignorant statements, easily debunked statements I've ever heard. Actually, it was the 870s under Alfred the Great. In the Anglo-Saxon tradition of creating the sheriff, in fact, sheriffs were mentioned in 1215 in the Magna Carta. And the United States Supreme Court in Prince v. U.S. acknowledged that the sheriff was the chief law enforcement officer of the county. So there they go again, spouting off, and they're more concerned, trying to make us more concerned about some sort of feigned, imagined domestic threat than what is an actual threat, literally. Istanbul, Turkey, Florida, California. Where else does this have to happen? And you know what? They need to be held accountable for taking people's eyes off the ball and creating this boogeyman in the United States of the constitutionalist, which doesn't even make sense because the dictionary definition of constitution is somebody that loves the constitution and liberty of government and believes in delegated authority. So that doesn't even make sense. Doesn't make sense because all Americans should be that, right? I mean, otherwise you're a traitor. So anyway, let's call out the Southern Poverty Law Center on these types of things because it's just not gonna quit. Which brings us to the next thing on the national front, and that is the Exposing the Left project. A lot of times what we have is people that feign to be journalists. And the Coalition of Western States met over the weekend, and we are going to start a new project of exposing these journalists that act like they're objective journalists, but actually are rooted and have dramatic activist ties to the left, the radical left. I mean, the communist left. And interestingly enough, some of these journalists aren't using their real names, either as journalists or in their private lives, quote unquote. And so we're going to expose them, and we're going to expose all their ties to the radical left. And when I say radical left, I mean the anti-Israel left, which is part of the communist movement. In fact, the KGB has a shrine to its destruction of Zionism in one of the KGB headquarters in downtown Moscow. So, you know, I mean, this goes way back. But also the radical left environmentalist movement, the radical left, and it's not, it has really more to do with anti-business, anti-corporation. I'm not talking about the big corporations like Goldman Sachs. I'm talking about the mom and pop ones that may have a lot of employees. So we're going to expose these folks, and there's probably going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, but we got to do it. Also on the national front, Herb Titus, great article out there. Obama's threat to defund over the transgender bathroom issue is illegal. And he goes through it in his article. So that is out there. Check it out online. Herb Titus doing a great job of exposing Obama yet once again. Also on the national front, the Council of American Islamic Relations, which during the Holy Land Foundation trial was found by a federal court judge to be, as a matter of fact in law, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, is now standing trial for massive fraud. And I don't know why they're even letting that organization be anywhere near anybody in government, and yet there are people on the left, there are Democrats. There's one Republican, unfortunately, here in this county that associate themselves with them. And this organization, you want to talk about associating yourself with terrorism? I mean, my goodness, they were found in the Holy Land Foundation trial to be a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization. And nobody's talking about that. I mean, this is Orwellian. But yet there's this feigned creation of this terror threat among the rural farmers and ranchers and people that believe the Constitution means what it says, people who are sick and tired of this march toward one world trade system and government. You know, those are the people you got to watch out. And yet these people associate themselves with a group that's actually a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. World's upside down, folks. Also, and moving to the regional front, July 20th, Missoula, Montana, we are going to have a rally at the federal courthouse in Missoula, Montana for Joe Robertson, the man that built a pond in his backyard, and the EPA is trying to destroy that man and his life. Despite the fact the EPA destroyed an entire river in Colorado and no one was held accountable. And this is this kind of double standard, this kind of unlawful action. I would really call it lawlessness, because one standard fits for one person, one doesn't. I mean, nobody should be above the law with the government, and yet that's exactly what's going on. Also on the regional front, we have the BLM forming a new security and intelligence post, one person they appointed, but then people are saying, well, that's just one person. It's not going to be a division. Anytime you appoint a person to a post, you create a post. It's going to be backfilled with all these bureaucrats. So let's keep our eyes on that. And I also posted the militarization of America. All right. And that militarization of America document is the primary source document on all of the guns in America, but not from us as private citizens. It's literally the arming of the federal government. I mean, the statistics here are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. I'm going to read through a couple of them here real quick, because it is unbelievable how much. And somebody tried to challenge me on this as if it wasn't happening, or maybe they had a good reason to get these weapons. And the fact of the matter is that there is a federal statute that requires these agencies, and especially like the BLM, to rely on local law enforcement to the greatest extent possible when doing enforcement actions. So why would they need this militarization? Why would they need this arm that is completely militarized, basically a mini army for each of these agencies? I mean, you're talking 9,000 employees in the BLM, right? So here are some statistics for you. 67 non-military federal agencies spent $1.48 billion on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment. Now, okay, let's break it down. If you considered any of those maybe non-military federal agencies, law enforcement agencies, 23% of what we would call administrative or general agencies spent $335.1 million. The spending on guns and ammunition jumped 104% for the federal government from 2006 to 2011. And interestingly enough, nearly 6% or $42 million of these transactions were wrongly coded. Some were coded in a way that was very difficult to find, like ping pong balls, gym equipment. I'm not making this up, by the way. I'm reading this literally from the report verbatim. Bread, copiers, cotton balls, and cable television. In fact, one line item with the Coast Guard was entered as cable dude, quote unquote. Here's the other interesting thing. Administrative agencies, including the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, Small Business Administration, Smithsonian Institution, United States Mint, Department of Education, Bureau of Engraving and Printing, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, purchased guns and ammunition. And last but not least, and probably most startlingly, since 2004, the Department of Homeland Security purchased 1.7 billion bullets, including 453 million hollow point bullets. And as of 2014, DHS estimated its bullet inventory reserve at 22 months or 160 million rounds. Okay, so understand what that means, because some people say, oh, well, that's for training, you guys. You guys are blowing it out of proportion. No, that is their reserve. 2 years. There is no reason an agency should have anything remotely close to that. Also on the regional front, down in Twin Falls, Idaho, the Coalition of Western States saw what was going on. We sent members down there. And the Coalition of Western States is a group of legislators, elected officials, sheriffs, concerned citizens, pastors from across the West who stand against unlawful and unconstitutional government action and also seek to change things through legislation and education. And the coalition had a couple members that went and interviewed the family of this five-year-old girl that had suffered this horrific, horrific attack. And we're going to blow the lid wide open on this right now on Readout News. If you get a chance, go check them out. It's Readout News. And they have broken the story of the results of that interview that just happened yesterday. There is, I think, look, at this doesn't get any more egregious than this, okay? It just doesn't get any more egregious than this. What has happened down there is that that poor young girl was indeed sexually assaulted. The perpetrators were Muslim. And according to those witnesses, okay, there was a knife involved. The allegations that are coming out now are that the prosecutor's office is not working with the parents, was not being forthcoming about hearing dates. And almost unbelievably released one of those boys back into the same apartment complex where this little girl lives. I don't even know where to start with that other than to be just absolutely outraged. But once again, the left-wing media got it wrong. And these poor folks down there need help, and we are helping them right now. And we're going to stand with this family and the horrible trauma that they've gone through, because we're not going to let this die away because the media tries to either censor it out or we get threatened by a U.S. district attorney on the matter of free speech. Unreal. And there is more that's coming out with that. Now, as soon as it is, it will be officially posted up on my Facebook page. And I will let you know when that is. And it'll also be up on Readout News. So keep your eyes peeled for it. But that is breaking news right now on Patriot Radio. And, folks, we got to do something. I mean, you know, the other part of this was egregious, too. Apparently, the investigators never talked to her father, who had seen the video, actually seen the video. And they still haven't interviewed him. So I don't know what kind of slipshod, half-hearted investigation is going on down there, or if it's being orchestrated from the White House. But this is a matter of justice for a five-year-old girl, and we are not going to quit. We are going to be relentless in pursuing justice on this. I mean, the fact that this has been stalled out like this is illegal, I think, and immoral. Definitely. So I hope that that got your blood boiling, because it got my blood boiling. And, I mean, we just have to protect our kids. And we have the gender expression stuff here in Washington State. I mean, it's like they're just going after our kids willy-nilly or allowing our kids to be victimized. We got to stand strong, folks. It's going to take all of us. We need to stand up and help. And when we put this article out, we'll give you some ideas on how you can help as well. On the local front, very quickly, the Hollick case, once again, the lid was blown off on that he was indeed hit by the deputy's car. And there's going to be a lot more coming out on this. But the fact of the matter is that not only was it a horrible tragedy, but there are certain protocols that are put in place for a reason, you know, especially lights and sirens. And I know it's difficult, and I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement. I know it's difficult, but there are reasons that those protocols are put in place. And anyway, we're going to get more facts out on that as it happens. And last but not least, We're going to continue to pursue the case regarding the Spokane Police Department and 600% increase in civil asset forfeiture money since 2012. That's between 2011 and 2012. And the potential misappropriation that is the subject of a lawsuit there as well. Remember to keep that little girl and her family in your thoughts and prayers. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page. And when I post stuff up there, feel free to share it as well. I mean, that's what it's there for. Share with your friends and family. Be kind of a source for you, as well as a primary source that you can trust was at least investigated, vetted before it goes up there. And if something is wrong, we seek to correct it, which is much more than we can say about the current media. Also, remember, this is a listener-supported show. You can go to VoteShea.com, and you can donate if you want to keep us on the air and help us keep fighting the good fight wherever that happens to be, in Washington or Idaho. We get the word out because we broadcast across all of eastern Washington, northern Idaho, and northeast Oregon. Well, it is my pleasure to introduce someone who has a ministry that is international in scope and really seeks, I think, to get at what I was just talking about, you know, protecting the children, you know, protecting the victims of hate and the victims of abuse and trauma. And that is my friend Shantosh Matthews and his ministry, Love Without Reason. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, Shantosh.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate your allowing me to go a little bit long there, because that case is just absolutely egregious, what's going on in Idaho. But if you could, tell the listeners a little bit about your personal background and also about the background of your family and what got you into ministry.
Sure. I'm joined with my wife, Susan, and Philip, my son, Philip. And the Ministry of Love Without Reason started in 2007, but our story started several years before that, in the year 2000, when we were pregnant with our first son, Philip Matthews. And my wife here will also join in as we talk about it. But, you know, when we were pregnant with our first son, we went to the doctor's office to do our first ultrasound. And as we went to do that, the doctor said that there is a lot of problems with this child. This child had a lot of facial deformities. He had a cleft lip and a cleft palate, didn't have a right eye, didn't have a right ear, had many holes in his heart. But the doctor said all that is okay, but they couldn't find a stomach in him. Not only could they not find a stomach, they also told us that his intestines were up in the rib cage, and therefore this child will be born dead. And so we were asked to abort him. They also told that my wife, Susan, would have problems, complications with the pregnancy, and she may also die. So the best option for us to do would be to abort this baby. And so when we heard that, we went back home, and we went to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord started to speak to us through our pastor and told us that, you know, just like in the book of Jeremiah, there was a potter who was making a pot out of clay, and the pot got messed up in the hands of the potter, but the potter did not throw away the clay, but made it into a new vessel, in Jeremiah 18. And the Lord spoke to us and told us that, you know, we are like clay in the hands of the potter, and if we trust him, we sure will have this baby, and he'll be born alive. So we decided to trust in him, and we started to pray. And after a few weeks of negative reports, we went back to the gynecologist, and he scanned this baby. And in a few minutes, he was completely shocked because they found a stomach where there was no stomach. And we believe that God healed him. And again, going through the pregnancy, he was born in 9 months. at the end of the, as soon as he was born, you know, the doctors told us that part of his brain is missing, so he'll never walk or talk or be like the other kids. They said there are so many holes in his heart, he would not make it past 1 year, past his first year. But God's been doing some amazing miracles. You know, within the year, God healed every single hole in his heart. He was supposed to be mentally retarded and developmentally challenged, but God healed him there. He is in his ninth grade now, studying very well. He's been through about 23 surgeries for his face to be fixed. So it's been an amazing journey for us. And so in the middle of all that, you know, we found out that God is an awesome God. He's an almighty God, the God of miracles. Through that process, we were able to found this ministry to help people who have facial deformities. And that's kind of like a little bit of a background of what we do.
So, you know, I have a lot of people who say to me, well, you know, is there really that big of a problem with kids? I mean, is this really, you know, something that I know, and they're not trying to be offensive, but they say, is this something we should really be worried about? And I think the bigger issue is that people don't see this because some of these kids are actually aborted in the womb. And that's why they don't see the problem that is out there, and that there is hope, and that you don't have to, take a convenient way out, but you can take the right way out. You can take God's way out. And if you could describe for you know, listeners a little bit about, you know, your discussions with the doctor and, you know, where they immediately wanted to go with this.
Sure. Well, I really, at that time, there was just no doubt in my mind that I could not take that decision to end the pregnancy. For me, it was, it's one of those things that, you know, you remember writing those papers in high school and college about how you want to be either pro-life or pro-choice, or and how, you know, the debates and things that you had. And in my mind, I think during those years, I'd always thought that, yes, I'll always stand up for life. But it is a different thing when it's your baby. And now that you have to make a choice, because this is actually happening to you. And I thank God that I was able to stand. I look back now, I'm like, I don't know what else to say, but I thank God for the courage that he gave me, and I guess just the love and the hope that I have in God's word that he does everything for good, and every good and perfect gift is from him, and children are a reward from him. And I knew there would be complications and there could be difficulties, but I think that love that I had for the baby and just belief and hope in God just outstood everything else to help me to stand and take that decision that I wanted to have this baby, and that I believed that God would do a miracle in him and he would be born alive.
You know, I shared with you guys when we met here in Spokane about my boss who had a daughter born with a cleft lip and palate, and something that is completely fixable. There's surgeries and stages for it and totally fixable with modern medicine. And yet the doctor counseled them that they should consider aborting their baby. And I think a lot of people don't know that there's any hope out there. If you can, go through the different physical problems with Philip and all of the, you know, trials and tribulations, if you could, and you can take time to do this, go through each one of those and describe. I mean, it was way more than cleft lip and palate.
Sure. It was way more than cleft lip and palate. And a lot of it at the beginning, when they first did our scan, when I was 5 months pregnant, they did not know entirely. You know, they scanned Philip's face, and they were able to tell us that something was wrong with the right side of his face, but they weren't quite sure. And what they could identify was that there was one large hole in Philip's heart and that there was no stomach. And their suspicion was that all this GI, the stomach intestines, was trapped in his lung cavity, which would mean that at the time of delivery, Philip would not be able to breathe on his own. So when he tried to take his first breath, because his lungs were not developed, he would die. However, you know, like Sunbush said, in our after some prayer and after our follow-up ultrasound, we did see that the stomach was present, and so the doctor told us all the life-threatening issues are resolved. However, the cardiologist who was following Philip told us there was not only one large hole, but there were so many small holes. And I remember asking him, I was like, you know, some of the holes, don't they close up on their own? Isn't there a chance? And he told us, even before Philip was born, he asked us then, and he told us that, yes, sometimes they do, but he said there are so many here, and this one is, there is one that is large, and he could not give us any guarantees. He told us that, in fact, he might need to have open heart surgery if he were able to even make it to delivery and even able to survive after delivery if he was strong enough to handle heart surgery. And then with his face, you know, after Philip was born, and he was born alive, they did a CT scan of his head. And it was at that time that the doctors told us that Philip doesn't have an eye on the right side of his face. He doesn't have an ear. His jaw on the right side of his face is small in comparison to the other side. And he was missing the center portion of his brain called the corpus callosum. And also, because of the shape and the appearance of his brain on the scan, they were suspicious that he probably had some type of mental disability. And they pretty much told us that because of that, he would probably need lifelong special education, probably be at high risk for seizures, and therefore he would be on seizure medicine for the rest of his life. They told us that he'd be developmentally and mentally delayed, and basically said, you know, don't expect too much from him. There's going to be coordination problems and speech problems, and don't expect too much from him. This was after he was born, so all of these complications came in. And then when you talk about his face and cleft lip and palate, you're also talking about his food. And, you know, at first Philip just was not able to gain weight because he had nutritional problems and just not able to swallow properly. And so he ended up having to put a tube in his stomach and to do feedings for him, and had to do that pretty much every 3 hours for the first year and a half of his life, until he could get all of his lip and palate surgeries completed, and until he could get his heart into a good condition. So there were a lot of things, and speech was also, when you talk about cleft lip and palate, speech is also going to be a factor. The teeth you have to think about, and the placement of his teeth. So there were a lot of things with that, and then with this syndrome that Philip had, it's called Goldenhaar syndrome. They also were concerned that he would have trouble with his kidneys and also with his spine, which his kidneys have been fine. There was no problem with his kidneys on ultrasound. But his spine, he did develop scoliosis, and that was around age between 2 and 3. He started to show the signs of scoliosis, and his spine was curved. So that was also something else as part of the syndrome that that we had to take care of for Philip. And though we've tried so many things as far as trying to do bracing and trying to do everything to avoid a spinal fusion, we've come to this place now that the doctors have told us that the curve has just exceeded 100 degrees, and they just cannot even think about doing surgery for Philip, because even if they did surgery, his spine would not be straight. They would not be able to correct it completely. So that is also another issue that Philip is dealing with as well.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that would say, "Well, why, you know, why would you allow him to, you know, get fixed up like that if his quality of life is just not going to be the same as every other human being?" And this really is where the Christian testimony and witness, I think, comes in.
Yeah, to that, you know, we've had that question asked to us a lot. You know, why would you let a child like this come into this world and suffer? My question to them is always this. if we would not have had Philip, you know, over the past 15 years, first of all, he's been a tremendous blessing to our family. And not just that, this little kid, Philip, has gone around the world, and he has shared the gospel, the testimony of Jesus Christ around the world, and he has spoken to more than 10 to 12 million people and shared the testimony. And a lot of people have been saved. Many have been healed. And this this organization that we started, which is it's called Love Without Reason, this organization has helped over 250 surgeries. It's helped people with all kinds of facial deformities. We've also been involved in human trafficking efforts in helping women and children have sustainable business solutions. There's so many things that have gone on just because we decided to have him. Personally, for us, you know, I don't know if I would be able to live with the guilt of having aborted my baby. It would have been the most traumatic thing ever. I mean, holding him in my hands now and just having loved on him all these years, you know, it's unimaginable. I cannot even think about, you know, having to go through, you know, giving him up, you know. So I'm glad we did not do that. The only explanation that we have for people like that who ask us those questions about quality of life is that, yes, we did go through the valley of the shadow of death. We went through the valley of tears. It was very, very difficult, many, many surgeries. And, you know, but in the end, it was worth it. Every little bit was worth it.
Well, and that's just, you know, you have God's perspective and then you have man's perspective. And God can do absolute miracles when he wants to. And really use someone to speak to millions and millions of people. You know, Philip he's spoken to more people than probably through this radio show times 100. I mean, you know, what a testimony. What a testimony.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's been on a lot of television networks and radio stations, and you know, it's incredible what God has done to Philip, you know. It's something that we never thought would be possible. We never thought, I mean, remember, we were told that he would never walk or never talk, would be a vegetable for the rest of his life, you know. When we talk about the Lord as a healer, you know, the Bible says, he not only answers our prayers, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in it. I mean, there's just a tremendous, power that we have through the blood of Jesus on the cross. You know, what God has done to Philip is reminded us over and over again that he is our healer. And that there is nothing impossible with God. I mean, we truly believe that, having gone through what we went through.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the human trafficking, because some listeners may not have caught that. You know, how does that relate to your son's condition and your ministry actually in India as well?
Okay, so when we started Love Without Reason in 2007. Both of us, Susan and I, had this this calling from the Lord. One was we knew that we had to work with children who had facial deformities because of Philip. And then we were also told that we also felt in our heart that we need to work with the victims of sex trafficking. And for we could not understand why God had put that in our heart. And we continued to pray about it, and we researched that for many years. After many years of research, we found out that children who have facial deformities, their face has got all kinds of deformities. But what happens is, because they have these deformities, these children are not allowed into schools. They're not allowed to be productive citizens. Most of them are killed at childbirth. But if they survive it, what happens is that they are sold into bonded labor, which is a part of human trafficking. They're also sold into beggary, and some of them are in sex trafficking. We found a woman; her name is Shanti. We found out that she was sold into human trafficking, and then we found out that. In cities like Mumbai and Kerala and all those places that, you know, there were children who had facial deformities. That is in India, I'm sorry. They were sold into human trafficking. And finally, we also heard that, we also found out that children who have facial deformities, their organs, their face is messed up, yes, but their organs are perfectly all right. So these children are kind of nurtured and grown. And they are sold into the black market, and their organs are harvested, like their hearts or their kidneys or their lungs or, you know, different parts of their body is harvested and sold into the black market. And that was the link that we found between human trafficking and craniofacial deformities. And since then, we have decided to take that head on. Raise awareness about these problems that children with craniofacial deformities go through. A lot of them are humiliated and isolated. They end up either killing themselves, suicide, or just living a life of deep depression. But these surgeries that we do is able to, it's only $500. We can do a surgery in India. And so these surgeries are able to set these children free, completely transform their lives forever. Their future is settled. We are able to give them good education. They are accepted in the society. It's a tremendous transformation, just of what a simple surgery can do.
It is tremendous. And it's horrific. It's horrific. What's going on with some of these kids? You mentioned beggary, and that's the idea that these kids are actually can make more money out begging, and therefore they're used to make money in that fashion. And it's just there's no end to the kind of cruelty or horrible imaginations of people in using children like this. But I want to talk about a positive. Now, Philip, I hope you're sitting there. If you can tell just a little bit. We had a great discussion on sports, and I'd like you just to say what you think about being able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world to all of our listeners here on Patriot Radio.
Oh, wow.
Good. Can you hear what he said?
No. I can hear you,
Philip. If you could, tell the listeners about what it means to you to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ around the whole world.
It's just a really, really great opportunity because, like my parents said, just one simple yes to that question about avoiding me literally changed like 12 million people, because I don't think I would have been able to reach them all if my parents said no. If my parents said no, then nobody would have been reached. All that reason would not have been formed. So I thank God for giving me that opportunity to share the ministry and share the gospel. I'm enjoying it.
Well, you certainly are an inspiration to many people and many of us that the Lord can do mighty, mighty things through any human being.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Shantosh, if you could, if people want to learn more about the ministry, they want to get involved, they maybe want to contact you, find out, how they can help, where can they go on the internet to find out about you guys?
Okay. So again, the ministry is called Love Without Reason. Unconditional love, basically love without reason. We are on Facebook. We are on the internet. We have a website called www.lovewithoutreason.org. That's lovewithoutreason.org. people can, you know, you can go online on Facebook or on the website and find out more about what we do. On Facebook, we have a page where you can see a lot of the pictures of before and after pictures of our children. And you can also see several videos of Philip himself, you know, speaking and sharing the gospel. And, you know, basically what you can do is you can, you know, kind of just get an idea about what we do on there. Each surgery, we do a lot of surgeries. We have completed about 250 surgeries in India. We are looking at different countries, Zimbabwe and Ghana also, hopefully starting 2017. This year we want to do a lot more surgeries. We do medical camps in very, very rural areas. We don't do camps in the city. All our camps are in the rural areas where there is absolutely no access to medical facilities in India. And so we are able to, you know, get these children into the cities and give them surgeries at some super specialty hospitals. The surgeries themselves do not cost a lot because the dollar goes a long way. You know, our Philip is kind of like a $2 million baby right now with the number of surgeries that he's been through. But for us in India right now, we can do a cleft lip surgery for $500. It's just as less expensive as that. We've got amazing doctors, amazing facilities who can set up their, who can do these surgeries for low cost. We work holistically with them. We help them with orthodontic treatments, speech therapy, anything that these children need for the first 18 years of their life to be productive citizens. So we take the holistic approach because of Philip. You know, he's been through these 23 surgeries, and we want to do our best for these children. And we have a lot of them waiting for surgery right now.
Wow. What a great ministry. If you could one more time, plug the website and how people can get involved.
Okay. Yeah, they can go on the website. It is www.lovewithoutreason.org. Lovewithoutreason.org. There is a donate button. We encourage people to, you know, to be monthly supporters. You know, sometimes $500 is what can help us with a surgery, but that can be spaced out. You know, 12 months, $40 each month could be $500. You know, by the end of the year. So we encourage people to get on there and be monthly supporters, monthly partners. If it is one-time donation, that's fine also. But we just want people to come and join because this, a simple surgery can transform these lives forever, you know. And there is also the opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus once the surgery is over. We don't talk to them much about Jesus before the surgery, but after the surgery is over, we are able to go and reach out to them and share the gospel and let them know that Jesus loves them. So that's the ministry of Love Without Reason.
Shantosh and Susan Matthews and Philip, their son, Love Without Reason Ministries. Thank you. You folks are such an inspiration, and what a witness and testimony to the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being on Patriot Radio, and I'd love to have you on again. And any way that I can help you, please let me know, and I'll be sure to stay in touch and make sure that everybody in the country eventually knows, at least if they have the opportunity, about your ministry, okay?
Thank you, sir. And two more things. We'd love for people to get on and like the Facebook page. And Susan has written a fantastic book on the ministry called A Mother's Heart. It's available on Facebook. On Amazon.com. And, you know, she can look it up. Susan Matthews, A Mother's Heart from Love Without Reason. We really, really appreciate you allowing us coming online. I hope it's been a blessing to many.
Well, thank you, Shantosh. And I just posted up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page as well the link to the ministry so everybody can take a look at it there. God bless you all. And really, especially Philip, God bless you too. You're really an inspiration to all of us.
Thank you all for the prayers. Really, really appreciate it.
All right. Well, God bless and take care. Everybody, Love Without Reason Ministries. Yep. Thank you, Philip. Love Without Reason Ministries, I posted it up there on Patriot Radio. And as we wind up the show here, I just want to make sure that if you haven't checked this ministry out, please go do it. Just phenomenal. What a great way to be able to love folks and give folks hope. I mean, you know, we were talking about at the beginning of the show that doctor's first choice is going to be to kill somebody instead of allowing that life to live and allowing the Lord to work through them. And that's really, that really is a great testimony. And boy, we should do more of this as Christians, and especially do more of this around the world.